Three, two, one. I'm Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, episode 19. 19. Made famous by the Steely Dan song, Hey 19. We're going to make it famous today here at WGNplus.com. Thank you for clicking on or sharing or however you find this thing. Did you go on my landing page? Supposedly I have a landing page. I don't know what that is, but it sounds cool. It sounds very techie, or as my godson says, the millennial, it sounds very on trend. So I'm on trend. So, yeah, I guess if you go on to WGNplus.com and then you go to the entertainment section on there, all these layers, then there's a little prompt that says Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and that's how you find it. So please, if you're listening, you obviously found it one way or the other. Please tell your friends or share it or throw it around and listen to it at your convenience. I hope you're listening from beginning to end because that's how I do the show. I'm here for an hour. I don't know about you. I mean, certainly I understand the web and everybody listens at their convenience, but I do this show for an hour straight. I don't do it for 15 minutes and leave for a day, then come back and do another 10, and then do another 15. I do it all at one time. So I would suggest you listen to it all at one time. But once again, I know it's a 24/7 world, so do with it what you will. As long as you do come back every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNplus.com. So, a few things. I was interestingly intrigued by the response I got from a podcast from a couple of weeks ago. I was talking about, I was even wondering whether I should even do this topic because it wasn't the most upbeat of topics, but who cares? It's the web, right? Hey, we can do anything we want. And I was talking about cremation and how I saw a story in the paper how a lot of people in the funeral business were predicting that by 2020, the amount of people choosing a traditional burial and those choosing a cremation kind of service would be 50-50, which may not seem like a big deal to many people of today's world because we hear about cremation all the time. But from somebody that when I was growing up, I mean, if somebody was being cremated, that was a strange deal. And it was the butt of jokes and on sitcoms, as I said in the last couple of episodes before, you know, they would, you know, of course, the urn would get tripped over and, you know, someone would vacuum up the ashes. It was like a big funny thing. But nowadays, more people are choosing cremation just from an expense standpoint or a personalized standpoint. They have their ashes spread around, or they just like to have the ashes close to them as opposed to at a graveyard where a lot of times the cemetery people don't even go anymore. And I thought it was an interesting topic, and I was surprised. A lot of people were responded to me on my Facebook page and really came up with some interesting insights and everything. So I was really actually heartened to see that we could talk about a subject that wasn't always that easy to talk about, but you know, hey, death is something we're all going to face one day or another. So right, I mean, so I was glad that a lot of people were, you know, chimed in with. Unfortunately, we can't really do an immediate kind of thing here on the podcast as far as getting phone calls. So it was great to get some reaction. I appreciate the comments of those people that did respond. And speaking, first of all, I should say we've got a different producer today. Kristen Decker, who you know from WGN, of course.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, Kristen is the woman who has the great hair and likes to go shopping at a furniture store.
Goods.
Right. That's how you know her.
Goods Furniture, Ovation Cell Therapy.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, that's right.
You cannot forget about Ovation Cell
Therapy.
That's
the one. Yeah, that's when the one that puts you on the map.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So Kristen is here today producing, which I'm happy about. And she's actually going to join us later on with Emily Arminetti for the Pop Culture Club. Now, when we started the Pop Culture Club, I had a very good friend of mine that I've known for 30 years. And he's been a very successful producer of radio here in Chicago named Mick Kaler. And and Mick and I had been doing radio when we were in college together. And but then Mick's schedule changed, and so I was pressured by the government to have some female members.
Pressured by the government.
Yes, I mean because they were going to cut my funding. They said, "What is this? A restricted club? It's just guys. You've got to have some."
I have binders full of women.
So yeah, I've got binders. Yeah, me and Mitt Romney have binders full of women. So I opened my binder, and like I said, I worked with Emily about 15 years ago when I was in the public relations world, and she is a huge pop culture fan, and also, having worked with Kristen here at WGN for several years, she's certainly as on top of pop culture as anyone else.
I try.
So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a menage a trois today in the pop culture club, and I get to be Lucky Pierre, so I'm very happy to have... both Emily and Kristen here.
I never thought I would hear menage a trois.
And look up Lucky Pierre if you don't get the reference. It's used correctly, my friends. But anyway, but before that, now Kristen has just been whispering in my ear here, aside from the usual whispers, and telling me that we've got actually a phone.
Hello. Hey, big boy. How you doing?
Is this Ronnie?
Hey, big boy. It's the Cubs. We're number one. Woo! Now, I just got to say that this has been the greatest season that I've ever seen. And I can see the whole season from where I'm at in my ultimate skybox. I mean, I've got no obstruction, no fences, no rooftops. When I look out of my skybox, my God, what a great season. And I just wanted to call in and congratulate my Cubbies. Come on! It's been so great because Ernie's up here and Harry's up here and all of these Cubs from the past, Leo DeRocher and Gabby Hartnett and Jack Rick is driving us crazy with this hey crap. Shut up already with that. We know. God, but it's so nice. And Charlie Grimm, who was the manager of the last team, the Cub team, that made the World Series, he's the only guy that's not too happy. He's kind of rooting against the Cubs because if the Cubs win, then he won't be the last manager to have taken the Cubs to a World Series. And I'm like, hey, Charlie, come on. It's been 100 years. Jeez. Anyway. But now, hey, big boy, is that Kristen there?
Hey, Ronnie.
Hey,
I'm so excited.
Kristen. We're partying up here. Where were you when the Cubs clinched?
Oh, I was at home enjoying the game. Well, even though we lost, I mean, I guess technically they clinch after the game we lost.
I mean,
but still, besides the point.
That night. When they were all,
partying
when they hit the home run in the bottom of the ninth the next day. Because I was there. I go to all the Cub games. Now, if you ever watch a Cub game, I usually hang around on third base where I play for the Cubs or Chicago Cubs. And if you ever look close at Lane Bryant, the third base, Lane, that's his name, right? Is it Lane Bryant? Oh, Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
Lane Bryant's a clothes store.
I didn't want to correct you, Ronnie. I was feeling a little bad.
Please feel free because, Kristen, that's the joke. You know, you got to play with me here, kid.
I know, but I feel like only Pat Hughes should
correct
you.
No, here's another thing. I've been, Kristen, I got to ask you, I've been calling WGN for now a year and a half trying to get in touch with Pat Hughes.
And
the phone just keeps ringing. Well, where's Patrick?
He's got another Ron.
Oh, God, you see how quickly they bail on you. Because I've been calling the same number I've been calling for 40 years, and it's just ringing.
Yeah, there's been some changes around here.
What's that?
I said there have been changes around here.
Oh, boy. Well, me too. I don't even have a body anymore. Talk about change.
So where do you usually hang out at?
Well, I hang out at right at third base, right around Lane Bryant.
Chris,
thanks. See, now you're good. And if you ever watch a Cub game, it's in between pitches because I don't want to, you know, bother him and not make a play. That might hurt the Chicago Cubs. But between pitches, if you ever notice, I'm always tugging at the cuff of his pants.
Does he tug at that a lot?
Well, I don't know, but if you ever see him kind of look like, what? That's me.
Are you distracting him during the game?
I'm just trying to have fun because, first of all, A, I want to let everyone know I'm there. I'm with you guys, even though I'm not here in body. Good old number 10 is with you in spirit. But
I miss you, though.
I'm like a prankster. I was always a prankster. And so, first of all, and I don't like the fact that in today's baseball players, when I play, we had our pants just below the knee, and we had stirrups, blue stirrups with the white socks, and that's a baseball uniform. Today, these guys look all messy, and they look like 16-inch softball players at Portage Park. Come on! You're in a major league. Dress up. God. Anyway, so I'm kind of playing with Chris, whatever, with his pants to kind of just let him know I'm there and also to make a little statement about the uniforms. And then after the games, I'm always there. I'm at all the games, even on the road, except New York. Because I hate New York, and I hate the Mets because they beat us in 1969. So I don't go to the New York game. I didn't go to the playoffs last year when they were against the Mets.
I can't believe you missed
it. Didn't go. Hate New York. Now, I went there at Wrigley, but will not go to New York. Anyway, so what I usually do then after the game, if you ever want to see me after the game, I'm there. I usually go to my statue over on Sheffield.
Yep.
And
Addison, yep.
And because everybody's pretty much drunk by the end of the game, and all those drunks are coming out of the bleachers, they can't really tell. So what I like to do is inhibit my statue. And you know in those old horror movies when the pictures had like the moving
eye? Oh, like the orb?
Yeah, like the moving eye.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I go into my statue and my eyes move.
Roddy, that's so mean.
Right. Well, so these drunk guys look at the statue and they see eyes and they freak out and they tell their friends, look at the eyes! Look at the eyes! And then their sober friends go, what are you talking about? You're drunk!
Is that how ghosts have fun?
Yeah, well, Oh, believe me. When you die, it's a party. I mean, there's that new show with Ted Danson and Elizabeth Frank. What's her name?
No, Elizabeth Banks.
Banks.
No.
Yeah.
Is it Kristen Bell?
Oh, I get those two mixed up because they're Bond and they're Prince. But this is the good place. I mean, this is the good place. As I said, we're partying up here. It's been going on ever since the clinching game, and now we're looking forward to the playoffs. And I really believe that the Chicago Cubs are gonna win it this year. I mean, I don't want to get into this because I can't tell you all the rules. But we really do know what's going to happen.
Do you really?
On the earth. Yeah, I mean, you won't even believe what's going to be happening in like the year 5027. Oh my God.
Spill
you
it.
Wish you wanted
share
to
share some secrets with us.
Yeah. Oh God. But so to be able to know what's going to happen in 2 months, I mean, that's a snap. No big deal. All I can say is keep October open. Don't go on any vacations in late.
I don't know, Ronnie. We've been here before.
Oh, come on. Chris, this is a good team. Stop waiting for something bad to happen.
I'm superstitious.
I'm moving the pages of the book, and it says right here, October 28th. Cubs win.
No.
You didn't hear
Should
that?
I go to Vegas?
Well, hey, it's up to you. Don't forget, I am a prankster.
That's
so
true.
You never know.
Better not bet my life savings.
But anyway, I just wanted to come down because it's been a long time since I talked to my fans here. But I just want everybody to know that we up here with Ernie and Harry and Leo and Vince Lloyd and Lou Boudreaux, who used to be on WGN Radio, we are all real excited. And like I said, I've got an amazing view from this, what I call my ultimate skybox. I just look down. I look to my left. I could watch Japanese television. I just turn my head. There's Japanese baseball right there.
What's Ernie Banks
right?
Like? I said, what's Ernie Banks like?
Ernie hasn't been here that long. He's still kind of, you know, he's getting used to it. He keeps saying, let's play two. And we're like, shut up, Ernie. Come on. You did that on Earth between him and Jack Brickhouse with the hey, hey. I sort of stay away from those guys for a while. But me and Harry are buddies. I'll tell you that. And the coolest thing, I got to tell you, you know, yeah, hey, I miss my family. I miss my wife, Vicky, and my kids and my grandkids and my cat, Joker. But I got to tell you, it is not bad up here because I'm looking down at what you guys got down there and what we got up here. And I'm going, okay, oh, like right there. There's David Bowie. David Bowie's here. You don't have David Bowie anymore. We got Prince. We got David Bowie. We've got Steve McQueen. We got
Abe Vigoda.
We got Abe Vigoda. Look, I mean, we got Elizabeth Taylor. We got Janis Joplin. That's cool up here. You guys got Kim Kardashian. Big deal. So as far as I'm concerned, hey, I miss my loved one. But I'm having a ball up here. I took a selfie with Michael Jackson like 3 days ago. Never met him on the earth. Now, just...
He never came to sing the seventh inning?
Never sang.
No.
Never came to a Cub game. Hey, Michael Jackson grew up in Indiana.
Gary, yeah.
What, half hour away? Couldn't come to a Cub game. Too busy.
Not his crowd.
Singing with his brother. So, where are they now? What's Tito doing for you now, Michael? Boy. Anyway, so I just wanted to click in and touch base, no pun intended, with all of my Cub fans and just let everybody know.
We miss you, Ronnie.
Oh,
we miss you.
Well, I miss you all, but like I said, I'm there, and I really believe that this is the year.
I'm taking your word for it.
All right. All right. Hey, come on! Hey, Robbie! We're going to take a selfie with Prince!
What?
Come on! Hey! Well, okay, Harry wants one. Well, I'm going to go. Go Cubs!
Go
Cubs!
Wow! I
so now what?
Believe.
I don't. When that happens,
that
see,
just happened.
See, when that happens, I'm lose.
Shocked.
Well, I lose. I lose because I channel him, and I lost. So I don't even know what happened. Well, everything went black.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Everything well, he went black. Told me that the Cubs were not going to. So So don't bet on that.
He said
don't go to Vegas. The Cubs are not going to win.
He said that?
I'm going to go against his word, and I'm going to place all my bets on them. But I'm just going and telling you what he told me.
Well, I'm surprised because I truly believe. Look, I've been a Cub fan for
I'm just kidding.
My entire life, and I played in Wrigley Field when I was like 10 years old.
You did?
Yeah, I was on the city champ team,
what?
Kilbourne Park.
Nice.
Yes,
I live off of Kilbourne now.
Really? Where do you live?
Up in Mayfair.
Really?
Yep.
So, like, what's the main streets?
Montrose and Cicero, but I'm a little
Montrose and Cicero.
Yeah.
I grew up on Cicero and Roscoe. Cicero and Addison.
It.
My God, that's 10 minutes away. Montrose and Cicero. You're just past.
I'm actually.
You're by Roma's Beef.
Oh, the best.
Yes, Roma's Beef, right
Roma's
there.
Roma's Beef is the best.
Yeah, that's right. That's right near. There's a McDonald's there still. Oh, so you're right where that little curve is, where where you get on the to get on the Edens.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of the interstate, but.
Which side are you?
So I'm east of the interstate.
You're east.
So Kilbourne.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah, I played. There's a small park. On Roscoe and in Kilbourne, called Kilbourne Park. It's right actually off of Addison, just by where Milwaukee cuts, where Schurz High School is.
Yep,
that's where Kilbourne Park is.
Okay,
and that's where I played all my little league baseball.
What base were you?
I played third base.
Did you really?
But then I caught. But I was a catcher on the team.
Did you catch it, Wrigley?
Oh yeah.
Oh nice.
Oh yeah. I mean, it hits me sometimes because I played the whole game. And I'm sitting there going, at home, I'm catching the game. And
You're
I'm
looking at the scoreboard.
Oh, yeah, the score. I mean, everything. But I'm sitting there going, Babe Ruth stood 2 feet from where I am. It's not the same dirt, but it's the same spot.
Yeah, with the same view.
Yeah. I mean, some of the greatest players in history, stood there. And I remember being 10 years old and having that realization.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I soaked it in because, like I said, I was such a huge Cub fan. And then we wound up winning the game. And and the cool thing, too, is that I've got a photo, which I have posted on my Facebook page a few times. Because I was a catcher, the original Mayor Daly came to the game.
No.
And he threw out the first pitch. And so I caught the first pitch. Me and the other catcher from Gage Park was a Southside Park, and they who we played. Blew him away 8-1, but so I've got this picture of Mayor Daly. So after he didn't come out on the field. A lot of times before, like when you look at old TV shows and old like footage of games, when the dignitaries would come out to throw the pitch, they didn't really come out on the mound like they do now. They would sit
a little farther up.
Well,
right?
they would sit in the stands. They would sit right by the dugout, and then the catcher would move out to the field, and they would just throw it from their seat.
Oh, okay.
Like the presidents would do that, because I don't think they wanted these dignitaries to be out in such a big target.
Never thought of it that way. Yeah. I just thought they didn't want them to whiff it.
Yeah, no, well, that's probably...
Everybody.
Yeah, that's probably part of it, too. But so a lot of times, like, when you see the presidents, like FDR, like I said, Taft, and all these people, when they went to a game and threw out the first pitch, they were in their seats, and they just stood it and threw it there. So that's what Daly did. So he threw the pitch. And then he threw one to me and one to this other guy. And then we caught them. And then we went back to the brick. And so he signed the ball.
Oh, my God. Do you still have it?
Of course I have. My mom, thank God. My mom's a pat rack. A pat rack. a pack rat. And, oh, yeah, I've got the ball in those little boxes,
Oh, how cool.
And it says R.J. Daly. And, but I've got this was kind of a big deal. It was the city championship. Of the Little League.
Very big deal.
And so the papers covered it at the time. And so they had photographers out there. And so there's a picture. I've got a picture of me, like, leaning on the brick while Daly is signing the ball. And it's so cool because it's taken from this perspective where it's kind of me and Daly. And then you could see, like, you notice that the top of the grandstands, there's no lights.
Oh, because
this is 1975. Yeah, so there's there's no lights. There's it's old Wrigley Field.
Bare bones. Wrigley
Dugouts. I mean, now they've redone those dugouts two or three times. They've moved them. They're bigger.
Right.
And so there's a, but it was so cool. I mean, because the best part was because I was on the North Side team.
Mm-hmm.
We got to sit in the Cubs dugout.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it was very cool. Yeah, and in fact, last year. was the 40th anniversary of that, because I was like, what, 10 or 11. And so as luck would have it, on the exact day, August 8th, the Cubs were at home. So I went to that game.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, so I was like, 40 years ago, I was at this same spot. And I got tickets right behind the plate.
Oh,
so I was right
cool.
near the where I, you know, where I was catching and stuff. So it was very cool. And I brought the ball with me, and yeah, it was kind of nice. But
so,
anyway,
unfortunately,
yeah.
I mean, you missed Harry. You missed hearing more just from Ronnie.
I know. Now. Well, you know, like I said, when that happens, it overcomes me. But I'm glad that Ronnie checked in, because if anybody should be enjoying this, it's Ron Santo. And I've been trying to tell. I mean, I've been talking about this since the beginning of the season, is this is a very good Cubs team. And Cub fans are so used to something happening to ruin the party. And I'm trying to tell people, from the beginning of the season, you could see this team was driven. And I'm like, look, you know, instead of being afraid, embrace the fact that you've got a real, legitimate, good team. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I'm watching a Cub game. It was a meaningless game. They were playing Milwaukee, who is in last place, and this was before they were clinching. It was just a regular Tuesday night game, whenever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cubs are, you know, they're up 4-1. They're up 4-1 in the top of the ninth.
Right.
And a Milwaukee guy gets on base. And they showed the people in the crowd. And they were clutching their fingers and rubbing their heads, and
but
I'm like,
we've been here before, we've seen it,
but I know, but I'm like,
but
it's like, this is Milwaukee, it's a last place team, this game means nothing. What are they going to do in the playoffs? Embrace this team.
It's like that Pavlov's dog.
I understand that, but
you
this
know what I mean?
But we have to get over that, because this, not only is this a good team this year, it was a good team last year, and I know they lost in the playoffs. But
in
this,
a typical Cub fashion.
Right. But this is a good, this is a legit, this is a better team, much better team than it was last year.
That's
with
true.
Terms of players, obviously in terms of record. And, I mean, look, nobody else has even come close to clinching their division yet. Nobody's even come close yet. The Cubs are 96 games. They're easily going to win 100 games. If they play 500 ball, they've won 95 or 96 games. They're going to win another five. They have to win another three or four or five. But anyway, it's like, please enjoy this season instead of biting your nails and rubbing your skin off your hands.
What do you expect from
I've been there as long as anyone else, but I can appreciate, you know, there's been a lot of hype on a lot of Cub teams where you go, they're not that good, but everybody's all excited about them. But when you look at this team, I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, but this is – deal with it, Cub fans. You've got a good team.
We're just so not used to it.
I know that, and that's sad. And I was thinking the other day when they clinched this, I did not expect to get this reaction. But when they clinched this, I was watching the big party, and they were all. It was the day after, but still,
right.
They were all, and they won in a dramatic fashion with a walk-off homer, and everybody was cheering, and they're showing them on the field, and they showed them in that little clubhouse thing that they have, and all that. And I did not expect this reaction. But like I said, I have been a Cub fan for my entire life. I lived off of Addison. When I was 10 years old, I would take the Addison bus to Wrigley. Only lived about 4 or 5 miles. I mean, that's where I lived, was only about 5-6 miles away off of Addison. And back then, a 10-year-old could or 11-year-old could take a bus to
and
Wrigley.
Your parents did not get
any you know, because it's on one bus, you stay on the bus.
Yep.
And then it was funny because I'd get on the bus, and we didn't live right in the main area. So I would take the Addison bus with some friends. I didn't go by myself, obviously. But we'd be on the bus, and then around maybe Western or, just over the highway, about Kimball, Western, you'd start to see Cub fans now getting on the bus, because now there are more of them were getting. And then once the bus got loaded with people, then, you know, you're pretty much safe. No one's going to.
Yeah.
Do anything. It was the same way. You'd come home and you say, okay, this is where you get on the bus. And by the time, you know, the bus went home, it was jammed. And by the time it got to our house, we were pretty much, you know. So anyway, but I'm watching this and, you know, everybody's celebrating. I did not expect to get this reaction. But I actually started to tear up because I thought of one of my dad's best friends who's been gone for 11 years now. And my dad's best friend died like 3 months after he did. was a couple years older. He was like 81. He was a my dad was a Cub fan. He used to watch the Cubs in the yard on the TV and all that. But this one, his friend, this guy, nickname was Mono, and he loved the Cubs. He lived and died with every game. And when I saw this, and I'm seeing how good this team is, and I'm like, boy, Mono would have just loved to have been here for this. And I didn't expect to be taken with emotion like that and think of this guy. But I thought about not only that, I'm thinking about, think about how many people's lifetimes.
Yeah.
When we say it's been 108 years since the Cubs won the World Series, right? Well, that number is so ridiculous that it doesn't even seem real.
Right.
But when you put it in terms of for the last 108 years, there are people that have lived an entire lifetime. And they say, wait until next year. Well, there comes a point where some of us don't have a next year.
Exactly.
We can't wait until next year.
Exactly.
And so when you think about that, there were so many people. Like I said, now my parents, who are both passed away, they both were around when the Cubs were last in a World Series in 1945, but they didn't win it. So, I mean, there are people that have lived an entire lifetime saying, next year we'll get them.
Right.
Next year we'll get them. And they never lived to see that. So we actually, instead of waiting for the next shoe to drop or this goat and all this other BS, this is like Halley's Comet. We should be embracing this and saying, how cool is this going to be that we are going to, you know, fingers crossed, see something.
I think everybody's just too afraid to jinx
it. I know. Well, I'm not. I am saying, get off that. And embrace. Don't be afraid of this because, it's here, and you should celebrate it instead of being afraid it won't happen. And for me, I am the most cynical guy on earth. So for me to be saying this is ridiculous. But anyway, and a real quick, little quickie just before I get done on that same point, I must say to Bear fans everywhere, stop enabling your team. The only reason that the Cubs are good, the only reason that the Cubs are on the brink of potentially going to the World Series and winning it is because about 5 or 6 years ago, Cub fans finally realized that the way that they're going to make this team good is stop going to Wrigley Field. And if you noticed in 2011 and 2010, suddenly you saw pictures of Wrigley Field and the crowd and you saw empty seats. And that was some, I never knew what color the seats were at Wrigley Field. Because I never saw an empty seat at Wrigley Field on television. But the people started to stop going. And it was when all of a sudden the Ricketts family said, you mean, wait a minute. You mean this team just doesn't print money? And these people are going to stop coming? I mean, Ricketts is like, wait a minute. I told my dad that if he just buys this for $850 million, that whether they win or lose, people always come. And I give him credit. Because instead of just letting this continue, this ridiculous tradition of just being good enough. He went out, got Theo Epstein, paid him big bucks, allowed him to blow up the team, not just the team, the entire organization, right down to the minor leagues, and start from scratch and go through some pretty tough seasons the last several years. But now we're seeing the fruits of that. And Bear fans, I know you love the Bears. I know there's only 16 games a season. I know you hang on every game. You love to tailgate. You've got your favorite beer, a Bear appetizer, and families get together and they have traditions and you've got your jerseys. I understand that all. But if you keep enabling these guys, the Halases are going to do the same thing that the Cubs owners have done. They will not do what they have to do to win. The Bears are a terrible team. The Bears are a historic franchise. George Halas, whose daughter owns this team, started football. There's no reason that the Chicago Bears every year should not be a Super Bowl contender. But the fans have allowed the Bears because of that loyalty, which is admirable. But the Cub fans finally said, we're tired of this. And Bear fans, you got to learn from the Cub fans. Stop going to the games. Stop watching the games until these guys get some real people in the front office, a real coach. Look at what the Cubs did. The Cubs had just hired and signed their manager, Ricky Renteria, for 3 years. And when Joe Maddon became available, they didn't give two They went out and got the best guy possible, and look at the change he's made. They got the best executive, Theo Epstein, and they got the best manager, and look where they're at. The Bears continue to find to get half-baked coaches, general managers who have never had any experience being a general manager, or coaches that were never had coaches before. Lovie Smith was a coordinator. Dave Wannstedt was a coordinator. Ryan Pace was never a GM. You don't, when you're the Chicago Bears, you're supposed to bring your resume to the Bears, not build your resume at the Bears. The Bears are a historic franchise. They're supposed to have the best people in every position. You bring your resume of your past accomplishments to the Bears and do it here. You don't come here with no accomplishments and then learn on the job. Not in Chicago. Not with the Bears. So, Bear fans, I know you love watching this team. I know you love wearing your jerseys. I know you love nachos and tailgating and all that stuff. But please stop enabling these guys, because it won't be until there are seats empty at Soldier Field and season tickets are not in demand when they're going to finally wake up. And we're back here at Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. And we're going to take a little stroll. Oh, wait a minute. I should take the... Ronnie's effect is still on the phone. Ronnie's echo. Is Ronnie's echo off now? Or is it still on? Hello? I hear an echo.
I'm here.
Can you hear me, Emily?
I can.
Okay, I'm hearing an echo on...
Yeah, you have to take... There you go.
There, it's gone. There we go. So we're going to go to the Pop Culture Club with Emily Arminetti. And Emily, I want you also to meet my producer today, who's also a pop culture countess, I guess. What are you guys? Are you pop culture-istas?
I'll take countess.
Countess or
yeah.
Pop culture-istas?
I'm a scholar to a
same.
I feel like that.
I study at the School of the Daily Mail UK.
There you go. Yeah, well then, oh my God. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I love the New York Post.
There you go.
Page 6.
Well, as I said at the beginning of the show, this is going to be fun because this is the first Pop Culture Club three-way.
Oh, wow. I didn't know I signed up for that today.
Hey, it's nice to meet you.
As I said, I'm Lucky Pierre. I'm in the middle.
Get to know each other quite well after this.
So, Kristen, why don't you make it official by playing our little theme song? Now, Emily... since you now are a veteran and you are an official member, Kristen is on double secret probation.
Okay.
I'm deciding. But so now you have to quiz her as to this. You know why I play Karma Chameleon, right?
You're asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Oh, yeah. No, I've gone through the initiation.
I understand that. Now we have to find out if Kristen understands why I play Karma Chameleon as the theme song for the Pop Culture Club. So why don't you officially ask her that?
Okay. So Kristen, can you tell us why is that our theme song for the Pop Culture Club?
I think it has to do with the fact that it's by the Culture Club, Boy George the singer, and it's a pop culture segment.
Ah! See?
Did I get it?
Very good.
Fine colors.
Very good. See, like I said, I don't bring in slouches here. You know, I had Mick, Kaler, who I consider Emily, and now we are considering, you know, we'll see how this three-way goes. And then, but you know, actually, Kristen works here at WGN, and I've known her for several years working at the station. And she's producing the show, so I thought it'd be perfect if she sat in. And I would actually like, because the topics we're talking about today, as I said when Emily joined, I was getting pressure from the government to expand the membership to include women. And of course, we are now in an era of female empowerment, so I certainly do not want to create an all-boys club here in the Pop Culture Club.
Thank you.
Yes. And so so that's why now we actually have more female members than we have male members.
I think you can hold her up.
I was just going to say, the women are taking over now.
Yeah, I'm losing control of my Pop Culture Club. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What'd you say?
As it should be.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. See, and that's another reason. But so because I wanted to talk today, so it was actually perfect that that Kristen was going to fill in as producer because it gives her a chance to jump in here too. Because I wanted to talk about I don't know what you would say, the rise, and I don't know yet, the fall of Amy Schumer. And I wanted to talk about a few different kind of female-oriented entertainment pop culture topics. So I thought it would be great to not only have Emily's view on this, but now we've got Kristen's as well. So, you know, what I found very interesting, and on the last podcast, Emily and I, how did you feel about the Emmy Awards, Emily? We both hit the mark in terms of the best best comedy and best drama in terms of predicting.
Yeah. Well, I think that maybe speaks to the predictability of the results. I mean, I think, you know, look, first, I have to say, I think Kimmel was good. I think that's a really crap job to have to do. But I think he does it well.
I didn't like the peanut butter sandwich thing. That went on too long.
Yeah, that was like Ellen passing out the pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Because ever since she did that, now there always has to be a
let's feed the starving celebrities.
Yeah, let's indulge the or interact with the celebrities, and it was very. And not only was it way too long, it was very uncomfortable after the first like 30 seconds. It just got real uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I loved having the Stranger Things kids.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Right.
But yeah, it just went on too long.
Yeah. But no, what I had
I think on balance, he's a pretty good host for that type of thing, you know?
Yeah, no, he was good. I thought he was good. I thought the show was, you know, what I was very surprised about, and not surprised, it was obvious what was happening just on the number of nominations. But, you know, I watched that O.J., the People versus O.J. Simpson. And I thought it was okay, but I thought it was really campy. And it was very. I thought I was watching Dynasty or Dallas.
I loved it.
Really? I thought that was the acting was way over the top. I mean,
David Schwimmer.
What a perfect Robert.
Oh, yeah. No. Everybody was. The cat, although I didn't really buy Travolta in that role.
Oh, not at all.
I didn't, because, you know, he didn't even look like. Like Robert Shapiro and anyway, oh, by the way, did you see the Travolta at the Emmys?
He was kind of like, I don't know, he looked really unhappy with Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, not only that, but there was I froze it at one point. He looked like his Madame Tussauds wax museum.
Yes.
he looks just wax. He looks fake.
He does.
He looks like a mannequin. Yeah.
He took a picture with Landecker, and Landecker put it on his Facebook page, and I was like very jarring how plastic.
Yeah, his face.
Looked.
Yeah, I mean, and then his wife, his dark hair.
I didn't
now.
Recognize her.
Where did she?
Yeah, you know what? Though I was gonna say, Jim, his wife was looking a little off too. So maybe there was something going on with their styling.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that was very strange. But I saw that, I'm like, wow, I'm like, this guy, because I froze it, I go, if you go to Madame Tussauds Wax Museum, that's what you'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you'll see. He's a walking wax figure. But anyway, so I have to say, I was not surprised. Well, you could see where it was going, that everybody, and I mean, the whole O.J. Simpson thing, let's face it, it's an L.A. story. It happened L.A. It happened in their neighborhoods. It happened to a celebrity. So... and all those people became celebrities. So I understand why Hollywood would have embraced it. And, of course, everyone in Hollywood now loves Ryan Murphy from American Horror Story and Glee and everything else.
Yeah.
So I understand where that was going. But I was surprised that it would win so many awards, because I thought it was okay, but I thought it was more campy than it was a serious program.
Yeah, so I think for me, to make a story that everyone knows inside and out, and everybody watched this whole trial unfold every day on TV 20 years ago to kind of make that compelling TV, I actually think was kind of that was kind of a tough thing to do. So I hear what you're saying about the kind of feel and the style of it, but I still thought it was compelling to watch, even though I knew exactly how it was going to unfold.
Yeah. Now, Kristen, what did you think? Did you see it?
And by the way,
Go ahead, Emily.
Yeah, go ahead, Emily.
No, I was just going to say, by the way, just a side note, I did think that Sarah Paulson bringing Marsha Clark to the Emmys was kind of a baller move.
Yeah,
totally.
She's like, you know what? I'm going to make you people love Marsha Clark.
I know.
It is the last thing I do.
Although I have to say, in the spirit of John Travolta, I don't know who that woman was, because it certainly didn't look like Marsha Clark from 1995. So I don't know who she brought. She purportedly brought Marsha Clark, but I don't know if she really did. Because I don't know if you put a picture of Marsha Clark from 95 next to that woman. I mean, it's got to be so strange. I saw that with Marsha Clark, and I'm sitting there going, so when you get face surgery that's that drastic,
I don't feel like she got drastic face surgery. I think it was all seriously the hairstyle.
Really?
Being so different.
Well, I would just think if you wake up and you know what your face looks like. You've been looking at your face for your whole life.
Right.
When you wake up and you see this different face, do you like do a double take? Do you keep washing your face in the morning? To like, is this going to go away? And that right. Is the makeup going to go away and the real one come back? Because it's got to be kind of jarring whenever you get that face surgery done and it's healed, you go, okay, this is it.
Right.
Like if I'm Meg Ryan, I'm like, geez, I don't look like Harry Met Sally anymore. But I don't know. I just thought Marsha Clark, I don't know who that woman was, but it was nice. To your point, Emily, I thought it was a good idea that she did bring them there. The one thing that I forgot to mention on the last podcast that I do want to say is I was most excited and happy for the first award of the night, because I predicted this from the first 30 seconds that I saw this performer on this show. And I'm talking about Louis Anderson on the show Baskets.
Oh, yeah.
Playing
the mother.
When I first watched this, I just read about it very briefly. I'm not a huge Zach Galifianakis, whatever his name is.
Now I can't even say it.
Emily, can you say it?
Zach Galifianakis.
There you go.
You did mess us up a little bit. It messed with my head.
But you know, I'm not the big fan of his. But I did see that Louis C.K. was involved in it, and I'm like, well, let me just try it. Because I do like offbeat shows. I had no idea Louis Anderson was in it at all. And I'm watching the show. And for the first couple of seconds, it didn't even register with me. And then I go, wait a minute. That's Louis Anderson. And the only reason I watched that show, it was a good show. I hope it comes back. It was fun. It wasn't great. But Louis, I could not get enough of that character.
Love.
And him. It was fantastic. He said he channeled his mother, which was great. He's like, when he won the award, he's like, Mom, we did it. But I mean, I could not get over how great he was. And I've always liked Louis Anderson. I interviewed him about 25 years ago when I first started out of college, when I was writing a newspaper column. And I got a chance to meet him backstage. He was the nicest guy. I've always liked his comedy, and I always remembered that, and was a very nice guy. And to see him sort of come back out of nowhere, because he's been out of the mainstream for a while, ever since he got in trouble doing some, you know, stuff with some guys and blackmailing and the Family Feud thing. And so for him to come back in such a very brave and bold role was great. And when I saw this, I said, that guy deserves an Emmy when I saw it. And I was so happy because there was a lot of good people in that category too,
yep,
that he easily could have lost to. So I was very happy about that. I was kind of sad to see Better Call Saul not get much.
I know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I wanted to talk about the one thing that I noticed at the Emmys, and this ties into the main kind of topic I want to talk about, was Amy Schumer is up for quite a few Emmys for a comedy special at the Apollo, for her show, and she came away with nothing. And I'm just wondering now from both of you, Emily and Kristen, when you what is your take? I'll start with you, Emily. What is your take on Amy Schumer? You know, when she started out, and were you a fan? Are you still? Where are you on Amy Schumer right now?
I mean, I like Amy Schumer. I think she's, you know, she's hilarious. She's obviously, I mean, she's got her own style, right? She's provocative. I would say she kind of leans more toward edgy, maybe at times crass, and that's definitely not for everyone. But, you know, I've seen some of Inside Amy Schumer. I think it's really funny. Trainwreck obviously was a huge box office and critical success. I really enjoyed that. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, when it comes to the Emmys, I wasn't that surprised. I mean, I think the acting award went to Julia Louis-Dreyfus again, right? So
yeah.
She's kind of got a stronghold in this category for Veep, and she has for some years. And so I don't know. I feel like that win spoke more to the strength of Julia Louis-Dreyfus than it does, like, anything that's happening with Amy Schumer. But the other categories I thought were a little weird because I feel like she was in kind of a mix of categories. You know, she was nominated for best lead actress in a comedy series for Inside Amy Schumer, but then Inside Amy Schumer itself was in the Variety series.
Yeah, right.
Along with her stand-up thing. So that, I think, might confuse voters as well. I don't know. That's kind of my initial.
Now, Kristen, where do you come down on Amy Schumer as just as a personality and a comic?
Oh, I think that just because she didn't win an Emmy, I don't look at that as that her star is fading at all. I think just for her being nominated for so many, that it only makes her just show that she's just that much more mainstream and popular. As a comedian, I find her to be really funny. I loved what she did on the red carpet with Juliana Rancic. Of course, Juliana was like, "What are you wearing?" You know, the typical question. She's like, "Oh my God, Vivian Westwood and Tampon by OB." Yeah, and like, only Amy Schumer would do that. So she like still gets the laughs. She like always delivers at award show. So I always can count on watching an award show. And if she's there, I know she's going to do something a little crazy or a little funny or something to make me laugh while I'm watching the show. So to me, that's like showcasing her talent at the award show when it's normally pretty boring. So funny. I mean, I just love.
So you don't think, because I'm getting a sense. I as well. I always I saw her several years ago on different shows. She made her bones pretty much on one of the roasts. Yes. Where she made, you know, this kind of really bold, ballsy kind of joke, which I can't remember now if it was about Steve O's friend. One of the jackasses died, and she made a joke about him, and everybody just groaned. But it was really a gutsy joke, mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, wow, you know, good for you, not playing along with that. And she her star really rose quickly, and then the show Inside, you know, Amy Schumer has got a Peabody Award. I mean, she's been on a very fast track the last couple of years, and I'm just wondering though now, because on riding that track, what you both are saying is legit in terms of Julia Louis-Dreyfus, you know, in those. But a lot of times, when someone is on a run, it doesn't matter if they're even the most qualified. They will win all the awards just because they've got the mojo behind them. And so I was surprised to see her get shut out. And I'm just wondering, because between all of the magazine covers and the movies and the television and the gossips and the Instagrams and my boyfriend and
from Chicago, by the way.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm wondering if the bandwagon and is beginning to sort of slow down on her, and a backlash is beginning because we're seeing so much of her. You know, she's on stage with Jennifer Lawrence, with Billy Joel. I mean, it's like she's just, I understand that. Yeah. But my point is she's everywhere doing everything. She's on vacation in Hawaii. I mean, we're knowing way too much and seeing way too much.
But I don't understand why there has to be a backlash, and not to be all feminist, but like, we don't have these conversations, I feel like, about men. Is there a backlash about Brad Pitt? Yeah, maybe right now because he's getting a divorce. But like before, everybody, like Leonardo DiCaprio, does he get a backlash because we see him in magazines with, you know, whatever model of the day? Like, why does it seem like she needs to have some sort of backlash?
No, that's a good point.
She's been successful.
That's a good point. Like I said,
Well, I think it's true. I mean, I think in general in Western cultures, we have a tendency to like to build people up and then knock them down. But I am also inclined to say that I think that very unfortunately, there is an element of, you know, successful women intimidating some people. You know, strong women can be intimidating to some people. Funny women can be intimidating to some people. I mean, the fact that there are people who still think that, oh, women can't be funny is ludicrous. But, you know, and I think, and the thing is, Amy Schumer is all of those things and more, you know. So there may be some people who, you know, might try to in some way, you know, spin it so that, oh, she's like, you know, there, she's on the you know, the downward spiral. But I agree with you, Kristen. I don't think so. I mean, I think she's doing really well. I heard an interview. I think she's writing a new movie, and I think she's got, you know, she's got a lot going on. She's obviously very busy. I think she's even too busy to be working on the next season of Inside Amy Schumer.
Yeah, no, she's not going to do. Yeah, she's not going to do. Now, here's the other side of the coin. Now, I've been watching that show from day one because I did like her, and I did like that show. Now, once again, I'm talking from a male perspective, and that's why I'm glad to be talking to you both to get your side. Because it would be different. If I was talking to another guy, we might have a completely different discussion on this. But I did, and I'm not trying to show a bias, and I hope I'm not. But I did notice the last season, I don't know if it's because on that show, Inside Amy Schumer, I don't know if it's because she was getting a little worn thin, writing the movie, starring in the movie, doing all these things. That show was not as good last season as it had been. It wasn't even close. And what I did notice, and I don't know how much she was writing it, but I did notice a lot of female-oriented... There's always been... On the show, she's always had female-oriented skits. Mm-hmm. But I did notice, and I'm trying to look at this objectively, but it seemed like there was a little kind of like male bashing in a lot of them. And I was kind of turned off by that. Like, okay, we get it, you know. And she always does try to have self-deprecating humor. And she makes fun of herself all the time. Mm-hmm. But I did notice a few, you know, skits that were, that instead of going down that road, which is fine, you know, I mean, women have every right to complain about men as men complain about women. Right. So I'm not saying that. But what made her humor always funny was that she would go down that and then she would twist it and make either herself the butt of the joke or something else as opposed to just staying with the male bashing thing. I'm like, that's too easy, you know? And so I hope that that's not where she stays, because that's what made her interesting,
right?
Was that she was, you know, certainly pro-women and pro-women, you know, issues and everything like that. And she would go down that. But then she would twist it so she either make fun of herself or make fun of the situation, as opposed to just sort of let the bash sit there as a statement. So I'm hoping that she doesn't fall into that, because, and as you said, Emily, I think what does happen in terms of feminism and things like that, you know, I don't think it's fair. And like you said, Kristen, you know, what does this happen to a guy, Leonardo DiCaprio, about this backlash? Sadly, because there are so few many women in a position of power,
yeah,
in entertainment, that they automatically not only become popular for what they do, but they automatically become role models and spokesperson for the entire female race.
Right.
And that's a huge burden to carry around. And it's unfair.
Right. Yeah, that you don't even ask for.
Yeah, exactly. So I do think that's unfair. And but then I'm sure if you're in that position, you do then feel an obligation. Mm-hmm. If all these people come and say, you know what, if you talked about this issue or if you did that, oh my gosh, it would help us, it would resonate. And so then you do feel maybe that pressure. So I just hope, because she is funny and she does have the ability to make, you know, to, like you're saying, Emily, you know, she can make guys laugh too. You know, that was always that was always the cut against female comedians, is that they can make women laugh, but they couldn't make men laugh. And so then that's why Jerry Lewis famously said that women aren't funny. Meanwhile, you've had people like Joan Rivers and these other people that were just funny people, regardless of their sex. But I think what really made Amy Schumer jump out of the pack, and that's why people like Judd Apatow wanted to make a movie with her, was because she was just funny. I don't care what it wasn't like Chelsea Handler, who is very aimed at women, I think.
Yes.
I can't watch Chelsea Handler. Can't do it.
No.
No.
You can't. Why can't you watch her?
Don't think she's funny.
No, oriented.
Just don't think she's funny. Not lately.
Are you basing this? Okay, so you're basing this on Chelsea lately.
Yeah.
As well as her new. Oh, you don't have Netflix.
I don't have Netflix.
Her new show.
How can you even do a pop culture segment without having Netflix?
We've been through this already. But that's my charm.
Yeah.
No, but I watched I tried to watch Chelsea lately, and I now I love the stand up of Whitney Cummings. I love the stand up of Sarah Silverman, and I like her in a lot of shows. I didn't think Whitney Cummings' show was good, the TV show.
Anybody else.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't. But do you know that she actually created Two Broke Girls, which has actually been very successful.
Oh, yeah, very successful. The only problem I have...
Whether you realize it or not, she's doing very well for herself.
Oh, no, there's no doubt. And like I said, I think she's funny. I embrace the, the whole female... I have to say, and I don't know, because just knowing Kristen and having been around her the last several years, I don't know where you're going to fall on this one, but... I thought she was good on The Office, but I'm just not a Mindy Kaling fan.
Oh,
I really, really liked
Mindy. Oh, I know you did.
Yeah.
Now, what about you, Emily? How do you feel about Mindy Kaling?
Oh, I love Mindy Kaling.
Yeah, see?
I think she's hilarious, but she doesn't try too hard, And her style is not funny at the expense of others or in, any kind of mean-spirited way. I think she's really talented.
Yeah, I think there's...
And it's interesting because I read her book when I was on vacation this past summer, and the book is not new. It's Everyone Hanging Out Without Me. And I just needed something really light that I could read on a plane and wrangle two little kids at the same time. And she talks about how she kind of really broke into Hollywood and kind of kicked off her career. And going to casting calls and auditions and never getting anything, she finally, co-wrote and co-starred in her own off-Broadway production. And that was really how she started to get noticed in the industry. And I think it's right there, that sort of shows you what's happening with a lot of, not just female comedians, but also, women in Hollywood anyway. In order to get good material, they have to produce it themselves.
Oh, that's my favorite show on Comedy Central, Broad City. Those two there was a YouTube show. They produced their show, and then Comedy Central picked it up and spruced it up a little. But basically, they're doing their YouTube show. It's so
the only
good.
Thing. The only reason why, and like I said, I like Mindy Kaling on The Office. I thought she was great. Great character. She co-wrote many of those episodes. Mm-hmm. She was a producer on that show. That show was great, and I think you could always tell where her comedy was, even in the lines. If she didn't deliver them, you could tell that she wrote the lines of the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that bugged me, maybe it's not her fault, was I read Entertainment Weekly. Entertainment Weekly, for the 3 years that the Mindy Kaling project was on.
Yeah, the Mindy project.
Yeah. What they were so determined to make that a hit show, even though it never really was a hit show at all, never got an Emmy Award, never got any, I don't know, I didn't watch it, but every episode or every issue of Entertainment Weekly had a picture of Mindy Kaling in it, had a quote from the show, had a mention of her in a story, and I'm like, when are you just going to call the magazine Kaling Weekly? Because that's what it was becoming. And I guess...
But the Mindy Project is a really good show.
Well, I understand that. But the fact of the matter was, nobody was... It didn't get good ratings. And
I really think that the only reason why it didn't get good ratings is it fell in that trap of being one of those shows that's people's TV watching habits were so changing. And it just happened to be right when her show was on to where people were... not really caring about a network show, which I
yeah, but didn't she have the lead in from the New Girl?
For a time, she did. Yeah.
You know, I just thought. I mean, it was fine whether it was the show was good or bad or not. But I got really angry just picking up these every issue of Entertainment Weekly and them telling me how great this show was, and I'm sitting there going, well, but you know, no one's watching it. And once again, there's been some great shows that have not got ratings, to your point, Kristen, but then they've gotten Emmy Award nominations or they've gotten other awards.
Yeah, like Seinfeld wasn't a hit.
Right,
at
exactly.
All.
And yet, she was that show wasn't getting any Emmy Award nominations either, not even for the writing as well as the acting. So I was kind of like, you know, it seems to me that there's like a campaign here to make me like this person and make me like this show. And so I got very turned off by that. So maybe I need to go and watch the show, you know, in a sterile kind of atmosphere, well, without all the outside influences.
I hate to break this to you, but the Mindy Project was canceled by Fox and then picked up by Hulu. So in order,
I don't
to
have
do
Hulu.
That,
I don't have Hulu.
You're going to have to be on Hulu. See, this is a problem for you.
I don't understand what your aversion to streaming shows.
Well, I don't have an aversion to it. As I said on the last episode, because Emily gave me a hard time the last time.
How people watch TV now.
I understand that. Well, that's a problem with me, because I like when shows are on, not floating. They're on TV, when everybody can watch them at the same time, as opposed to floating. Now, I say that when I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Believe me, I am filled.
There's so many good shows on Netflix, produced by Netflix.
Oh,
now,
believe me.
By Amazon
no,
Prime.
I feel very, I do.
Hulu,
no.
Difficult People, another yeah. hilarious show. It's a Hulu.
No,
show.
I do. I said, I guess the problem is that, like I said, even this year watching these Emmy Awards, you know, unless, I mean, you have to have the, you have to, you know, there is so much material yeah. now that how do you watch it all? Now,
I seriously have cable. I have
yeah, so
Hulu.
How much are you paying every month?
I have Netflix.
Right.
I
so how? What is your bill?
Amazon Prime.
What is your bill? How many 20? How many 19.95s can I keep getting hit on for?
Netflix is cheap. It's like $8.
But like I love Parks and Recreations, and I love what was the name of his show that won the how do you say you know the
Aziz Ansari?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Master of None?
None. Yeah.
That's a Netflix yeah. show.
Now, I've never seen yeah, that. Now, is that good?
Oh. Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, see, now I know. So I have to start, like I've said, the only way that I have even, because I love politics, so I've watched House of Cards. Every
that's a Netflix show.
I know. You know how you know how I've done that? I've gone to my friend's house and stayed there for 13 hours. And literally got there at 10 in the morning and leave at midnight.
Jim, by the time House of Cards has its series finale, that guy is not going to be your friend anymore. He's going to be like, I never want to see you again.
So we're on. So Amy Schumer, then, because we need to wrap up here. So on the Amy Schumer question, you guys both of you, don't think that there's any been that she's any on any kind of downside. I believe she's actually going to be appearing in her next film. She's going to be playing a dramatic role.
I look forward to seeing
yeah.
that.
Well, I just didn't know if there was that, because there is that moment with a lot of celebrities when they get on that ride where there is a moment of overkill and overexposure. And so I was just wondering if she was near that. But you both are saying that she's not close to that yet.
I don't think so.
No?
No, and I think if you look at like someone like Tina Fey, who, you know, I mean, a few years ago she was everywhere too. And she's still doing a lot of great things, and I don't think, you know, anyone has any issues with her either. I think, you know, it's possible to be popular and but yet not have that kind of backlash. But I get what you're saying. It
yeah. Well, and then once again, now this fall she just has a new book out too. So she had a book, and then you know, it seems like you know the Amy Schumer business, the product continues to roll out. It's like okay, how much can we see before we, you know, we get? But yeah, I understand your point.
But that's how it is. That's how it is, especially in comedy. It's like, you know, have a TV show, start doing feature films, start writing books. It's like the comedy triple threat.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
And if you
yeah.
look at a lot of this whole long list of male and female comedians, that's kind of, you know, how their career trajectory, you know?
Yeah. Well, like I said, it'll be interesting to see How, because now she did abandon the show. I mean, I guess it has been renewed, so it she certainly has the ability to revisit the show inside Amy Schumer, but she said, you know, that she's been a little too busy between the movies and she's doing a world tour, blah, blah, blah. So we will see what happens in the next year or so in terms of her popularity and how it maintains. But I was just wondering, because of all the female actresses or comedians, you know, even the Kristen Wiggs and people like that, it just seems like Amy Schumer. I bring up Mindy Kaling because I have to think that, you know, as much as I'm sure she's rooting for Amy Schumer, Mindy Kaling has to be saying to herself, hey, wait a minute. When did Amy Schumer get my career? Because that's where I think Mindy Kaling would love to be Amy Schumer. And Mindy Kaling was Amy Schumer.
But how do you know that that's not going to happen to Mindy Kaling?
I'm not saying it isn't. But my point is that Mindy Kaling has been around. She had a TV show. She was on The Office. And so the trajectory was there for her. And then Amy Schumer just came out of nowhere and just, like, leapfrogged everyone.
But I think they have different styles. So
oh, certainly I have different styles. I'm just saying in terms of popularity and success and, you know, box office and things like that, Amy Schumer has just, you know, just leapfrogged over a lot of people very quickly. And so when that happens, then as historically you look
like
at
that's
it.
That's just show business, baby.
Yeah, but then historically when that happens, and it happens so fast, and I ask people like the Bee Gees or Peter Frampton, you go from being the darling until you're gone for 20 years because people can't stand you anymore. You know, I mean, so that's the fine line between being really popular and people loving you and being very popular and people kind of getting tired of you. It's a fine line. But anyway, well, I'm very glad to have gotten the female perspective, because I think if I would have had this discussion with a guy, it would have been much different and I probably wouldn't have learned as much. So I did learn something. Hopefully the audience did well. Emily, thank you once again for your insights. And we will certainly talk again. And I will call you offline and we will discuss Kristen in terms of her possible, inclusion.
Pop culture prowess?
We'll see if you're going to be a member of the club or not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because there's a...
We'll just have a quick...
Yeah, there is an initiation.
It'll be like Project Runway. We'll have a quick chat and we'll take that.
One day you're in, the next day you're out.
Yeah. Right,
exactly. Well, thanks to both Kristen Decker and to... Emily Arminetti for a very interesting and estrogen-filled version of Pop Culture Club. And I just want to also thank you for tuning in today to Elton Jim, Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Thanks for tuning in here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode will be posted. So please go to WGNplus.com for this. And then as we continue... Because the next one will be number 20. And I don't know what I have planned for that. Because people said I'd never even get to 18. And now I'm going to be approaching number 20. So look forward to that. Once again, thanks so much for listening. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. I had a good time today. Hope you did too. This is Elton Jim, Toronto's Captain Podtastic. From the end of the web to your screen.